March the 19th, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talk, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com archives, and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. So we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran, Surah 65, Ayat 12, seven heaven prophets. Similar from the earth, metlauna, metlauna, higher sensitivity created above willing obedience in man. Inherent nature, then he becomes conscious. Seven major prophets, man and those graduations. One, Adam. Two, Jesus. Three, Joseph. Four, Idris. Five, Aaron. Six, Moses. Seven, Abraham. The seven refers to the natural step of growth that takes place in the conscience of the individual. There are seven major prophets in us. They lie asleep in us. The average person can't reach the potential that the great prophets achieve. God hasn't sent us leaders that we can't follow because the leader he sent represents what is inborn, inherent, innate in us. Allah gives to all, every person's nature, urge for excellence and social maturity without in the flesh. His moral form materialized, and his mind materialized, so he was even in spirit materialized. So he was materialized in all of his three. Where is that beast? Right out here. No one who has only one six has been dead a long time ago. Noah. Noah's flood killed him, but the one who was revived, he is still around here now because there is no heroes in the house anymore. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6, save yourself and family from fire. The devil advises children now not to listen to parents or religious teaching and to make up their own mind. The result is that we have a rebellious and defiant youth. God has put it in the nature of the creatures to believe. The overwhelming majority, because in normal conditions, the majority is right. But at the end of the world, Satan creates an unnatural situation and makes the majority intellect. If that youth allow the parents to lend advice to that youth's life. The system said to the little girl not to worry about obeying parents or religion. They give out contraceptives to induce this behavior, children who choose the world over parents who have worked hard to show them the right way, should be rejected, put out after they are grown. Keep them until they are grown, then put them out. Our parents in the South would do this. Family from fire. Quran Surah 11, Ayat 107, hell dwells as long as heaven exists. Bukhari, volume 7, 717, hell comes out, La ilaha. So many people weep over some family member that has perhaps transgressed so far that the person has put them himself in hell. So we don't have the power to pull out any dwellers of hell. The chain themselves, hell is eternal, conditional. The person goes to hell, but if there is something good in the nature strong enough, it may be the factor for pulling that person out of the hell one day. The Quran, Surah 66, Ayat 6, hellfire or blind passion. Passion into destructive nature. When fire is done with a thing, what is left? Smoke. Where is the form? Fire burns, twists, changes the form. Human nature is the same way. If you let your desires, passions go to extremes, love to extremes, and forget the moral rights in your relationship. Does hell last forever? What is forever for a human? Yes, for a disobedient, hell-bound soul, Allah says forever. In one place, and in another says, as long as hell wills. So it will be forever to you. But Allah will eventually change everything. It all will perish except his faith. But according to your own mind and thinking, yes, it'll be forever. See 5:2, Adam, single and plural. Supporting family, not individuals. Now we want to support family, neighborhoods, communities. And that means also support individual. Individuals don't live outside of families or outside of communities. The only way for individuals to live in inside of families or inside communities. Don't have your program to help individuals unless you are a doctor or something that is different. Administering medicine, you have them to come one by one. But if you want to help the social life, the community life of people, then help community life. And you will also help individuals because those individuals live in community. Usually families puts our eyes on families and on human beings living in community. Adam, singular and plural. Adam himself, if you understand scripture, very suddenly identified Adam not as one man only. In one content of the scripture, Adam is identified as one only. And in another context of the scripture of the same book of Genesis, Adam is identified as a plural person. He is seen as a person representing, depicting a figure, and then depicting a group, a community, people in great numbers, male and female. It says he created God, male and female, meaning and called them Adam in the day that he made them. This is the Genesis I'm quoting. Now, how are we to understand that? Here is a man called Adam, and he was made one single person, but later God addresses him not as a single person, but as a plural body. And we have heard the term the Adamic people or the Adamic race, meaning that we are all of us, are Adam. Jesus, second Adam. If you understand it, Jesus is supposed to be in some Christian school of thought. He is presented as the second Adam. I've never gone to any Christian institution to be ordained. a minister, but I feel like I can do a better job than most preachers that I hear in my neighborhood preaching. If I wanted to preach Christianity, I believe I would serve the gospel a little better than most of them. That's what I believe. Now, that's not my religion, so I'm not going to do that. And I respect those who are doing that, and I don't want to interfere with their work. And what I'm saying is, what preachers, if they are in the academic or audience, pardon me, and know the Bible, what they will agree to, say yes, he's correct. Pardon me. Call them Adam. Jesus came in the Bible, peace be upon the prophet. And he also presented himself not as one person, but also as a plural body member in Christ. That's what he said. You are members, one member in Christ. So here are people now seen as a Christ body, same as it was for Adam. Same idea or the same logic that is found in Genesis about the single person. And the plural person, we find it also carrying over into the New Testament, addressing Jesus as a single body, but also as a plural body, which tells me that God doesn't want us to get our minds off of ourselves as a society or as a community. God wants us to see ourselves as a community. Allah hand on group. They have an expression amongst the teachers of Islam, the learned, and they say it is a saying of the prophet himself. It goes like this. Say the control of God is on the community, the collective body of people. The control of God is on the collective body of people. Nati, for those who speak Arabic. That's the control of God on the collective body of people. And how do they explain what they mean? How do they explain that? They explain that by saying that God holds all the people accountable, and he holds them accountable in society or in community life. That's how he holds you accountable. If you come out of community life, and you say, hey, I don't want to belong to the society of human beings anymore. I want to be a reckless. Well, you're taking yourself away from God's concern. That individualism is not God's concern. God's concern is for human beings. It's to have them live together as families and communities, and to support each other for the betterment of their family, for the betterment of their community. This is what God wants from day one to this present time. Family authority, the Quran, Surah 4, Ayah 35, marriage arbiter. The Quran, Surah 8, Ayah 75, family rights. God wants us to live with our family in a family unit, authority over family. Muslim law respects family authority. Say, if we have a problem between husband and wife, God says, get witnesses from her side of the family and get witnesses if they can't settle the family affairs that matter. Get witnesses from her side of the family and get witnesses from his side of the family, and bring them together to solve the family problem. So here God is respecting family and the power of family to live in peace and preserve their peace and keep their peace. God respects the family authority, the family organization, so much that it tells the leaders in Islam, we can't impose our own judgment upon family. We have to bring the family together. We have to listen to what the family are saying And if they want us to be with them in council, there is nothing in the Quran that says an imam has to be with them. They can meet together and solve their own problems. So here is a religion that goes directly to the individual, male and female, and tell you how God wants you to run your life. And when the prophet told us of God, they said, this is a legitimate quote. I'm not sure, so I'm putting it as I see them, but I don't know it is acceptable. It is a sound statement that stands up now, whether the prophet said it or not. I have searched the quotes enough to know that he really said this, but the authority said he said it. Control of God is on the collective body, on the group of people. So it means that he holds us individually responsible. We belong to a collective body. We belong to a family. Family members will be held individually responsible according to our religion. And I believe it's yours too. According to our religion, God will hold the members of that family individually responsible. The father, if he's living, he will be held responsible for things that he neglected, that he saw going wrong and wouldn't straighten up. If he saw the family needing help and wouldn't answer them, he's going to have to be held responsible. So the mother, if she's neglecting, she's going to be held responsible. The child, the daughter, the son was in the family and didn't value the family and didn't respect the family interest. Show things hurting the family and didn't answer the call of the family. Those children will also be answerable to God. Even if they are minors, they will be answerable to their parents in this world as minors, but when the judgment of God comes, they are going to be answerable to God for how they disrespected their family, how they disrespected their family interests, how they disrespected mama, how they disrespected daddy, trusted them with. God is going to hold them accountable for all of that. And I'm a student of the universe. I study nature and how things evolve. And believe me, I see a logic in the universe itself that tells me, yes, God is going to do that. So much for that. Human family, Adam. All of that is to say this family is no small matter. Family is a big matter. This whole world began with a family. That's the belief of people who receive revelation from God by way of the prophets. Had a wife, a mate. And Adam and his mate produced the first children. And that was the first family. And that first family is what God created. And all of us have come from those procreators, those original parents of ours. All of us have come from them. So if all of us have come from them, is made. And that was the first family according to Revelation, Bible, and Quran. And the people of the book. That's according to that revelation that we identify with you that made that man begin as one family on this earth. And all other families, all other nations, communities, came out of that family. So we say come out of that family means we came from the orientation that God put that family on. But does that mean we are really outside that family in terms of our genetic belonging? God is in every one of us. His flesh is in flesh of every one of us. Impossible to believe otherwise, I said. If possible to believe otherwise. If you accept revelation, if you accept Bible, Muslims, if you accept the Quran, it is impossible to believe otherwise. So we want to talk more about family and community. I want to look at neighborhoods. When I say community, I am thinking about neighbors. You know, neighborhood, and ethnic communities. Like African Americans, we live mostly together. Where we live in Chicago, African American community, African American ethnic community. Then you will find the Polish people and Irish people and others now. We have a big number of the Arabs and the Indians from Asia living in Chicago. And in Chicago suburbs, they represent a big population to now. Firstly, growing population and a big one. So all of these are ethnic communities. We have so many ethnic communities in Chicago and in the West California, some areas of California, the people are so mixed until it's stupid to think about your race. It's absolutely stupid. For excellence, she wanted her pies to taste the best, to be the best. She wanted the rice, the meat, the stew, whatever it was. The chicken and the dumplings, or the dressing, whatever it was, she wanted it to be best. She was a pusher for excellence. The mother and the father wanted the children to have the best manners. They wanted them to have the best character. They were concerned with the quality of their children. America, as you know, used to preach excellence. American people were taught to uphold high standards, quality of life. If you perform a job, you were performed it with respect of excellence. So you didn't just want to do a job. You wanted to do an American job. An American job meant a job that reflects the best skills, the best quality, the best quality of work. There are a few companies around now that insist upon excellence, but even those companies have really relaxed their rules. They tolerate a lot of cheap work, inferior work. So we don't have to make any long study or any thorough examination of our lives today, of American life today, to see that America has fallen from her high concept of excellence, from the high principles and standards of life that we once as a nation struggled for, worked hard for, the problems that we have in our community life, a problem that have come about because people are no more driven by principles and the desire for excellence in their life. People are careless. People have no standards anymore. People have no fear anymore. People can't be shamed anymore. We have lost good life. And we complain. Why should we complain so much? Is this what we want? If this is the life we want, we should be happy. We shouldn't complain so much. How can we have strong financial homes, strong financial communities, where we are living the life of drunks, playboys, delinquents? We shouldn't expect strong homes, strong communities, when we are living the life of drunks, reckless people, respecting no principles, fearing nothing, not even God. There's a proof that we are dissatisfied with the life we have and the very fact that I am here today speaking to you on a subject that you have chosen. Reconstruct family life. There's concerned people want to get the family life back. We know that we lost a good family life, the thing that we want in the streets has to first be in the home. If we don't have the life we want at home, it's not going to be in the streets. All of us, I believe, we realize that the streets aren't safe in most of the big cities. Not only the streets, even the homes aren't safe. They are without protection, that is. We spend a lot of money on elaborate security systems to protect the house, on iron gates, iron bars on the doors, iron bars on the windows. Change the home and it will change the outer. So we locked ourselves up behind bars and we still feel unsafe. Most of us feel this and most of us don't like it. But how can that ugly picture be changed before the streets is changed? The street can't be changed without first the life in the home. You might say, well, I'm not one of those dangerous self-destructive elements in the community. We live in a decent house, and our home is safe and peaceful. Then it is your duty in the face of the trouble of the terrible things that are happening to our lives to come out and help us battle and turn the life of the many around so that all of us can be peaceful and safe at home. The problem runs way back. It is a very ancient problem, and we are blindly facing the doom. That also goes way back to which it is an ancient thing that came around when people without guidance tried to manage their own affairs in a world of plenty. If we were living in the desert where there is nothing, we wouldn't have too much to worry about. But we live in a modern city where there is plenty of wealth, where people live very close to each other. Homes are stacked up on top of each other. Their food within reaching distance that is not mine. Clothes in that are in reaching distance that are not mine. Plenty of money within reaching distance that are not mine. Plenty of pretty girls within reaching distance, that's not mine. So the life is very hard for us without having something that we respect. There has to be control in our life that we respect, that the only way to exist. Reread the history of great nations, Rome, Greece, and the Bible, Babylon, and Nevin, how those great nations rose to their greatness, enjoyed great wealth and plenty of freedom. At the height of their prosperity or achievement, they started to die, fall down. Often it was no enemy among army that came in and attacked them. They defeated them. They just let go of everything and fell down. Dear beloved people, we have to turn this thing around. Even if it's by force, because if we don't turn it around and small people will take us over in a great nation, how long do you think the world will sit quietly knowing that the American people are a pushover? If this silly, childish kind of mind continues to grow as it is growing, pretty soon we can't even depend on our army. The people who are there at the push button, pretty soon we won't even, in fact now, I'm wondering, he might not hear the signal. He might be high. We doesn't know what is going on. All we know is that the American people are degenerating. There is something retarding the community life of American people. The family life is retarded. The city life is caged. The leaders of government are desperate. What can we do? We don't have supporters. The material production can only be so much. Forces of destruction, your own thoughts of self. So in the better days, government tried to satisfy trouble spots with money. Now there is not enough money to satisfy trouble spots. So government leaders are desperate. What can we do? We don't have enough money to quiet the dangerous element. We can't buy those people away from the self-destruction. How can we manage our lives? They are desperate. How long do you think things can stay this way? People behind bars, the people that are serving time in jail, are better off than we are because they are at least have an opportunity to get away from destruction and get their minds together again. So we are out here in the forces of destruction. You might say, Chief Imam, what is destroying us? What are the forces of destruction? The mentality, the way you think. Those are the forces of destruction. Your thoughts, it began when you thought you were born in sin. It got worse when you thought you were born free. We have to get the life back together. Maybe there's a way. How come we aren't able to do anything about our life? It's because we have never been given anything to work with. Say, well, how have we survived? How have we become the greatest nation on earth? A charge, a powerful charge. Anything that gets a charge has to be recharged. And when you run out of the recharge, you're finished. Pretty soon, it's just like shooting black flag roach spray on a bed of bugs or roaches. After a while, they don't feel it. You are spraying, and you wonder how come these things aren't falling. They have gotten used to it. We have recharged ourselves so many times until it doesn't affect us anymore. We have gotten used to it, have gotten worse, and you don't see the change producing results. Why? Because the charge has lost its effort. Believe me, the charge has lost its effort because there is a diabolical working mind planning the downfall of America, people. Not my downfall, not the African-American downfall, not the Muslim downfall, our downfall. I don't know if I was introduced properly or not, but I say some outrageous things that I hope that they will outrage you, because that's what you need to be outraged. God, public disrespect for God. Respect for God has been declining in America. Respect for God has declined so much in America now that to say God is to make people leave you. You want to have people walk out away from you? Just start acting like you really believe in God. I don't have time for that man. He is wasting my time. Oh, he is offending me. Look, they compete with each other to see who is the boldest and playing lightly over the respect for God. Don't you watch the TV shows? Don't you see how lightly they play with God on television? How lightly they play with God in the cartoons of the newspaper? How can we keep our life together if the media is going to play lightly with God? The Christian home should be protected first by God. Are you Christians or what? Are you? If you are Christian, shouldn't your home be protected first by God? And the next authority under God should be God's word. Whenever you lose the fear of God, you should pick up God's word. And children should respect God's word. Husbands should respect God's words. But is that the American Christian life? No. You've lost the fear and respect for Almighty God. Still, they claim to be Christians. If we invite you to El Islam, you say, oh, I can't come. I'm a Christian. That's not the reason. You can't come is because you are a nobody and you don't want to be somebody. Everybody wants to go back now to nature, saying, let's go back to nature. Come back to nature. Hey, baby, what you got there? Oh, I got a Butterfinger. You eat that mess? I don't eat that mess. Go down and get me a sesame seed candy bar. That Butterfinger will kill you. Kill you, man. Hey, baby, you got any snow? Now, this is the same one who won't eat the Butterfinger, but he wants a snort of cocaine. Pitiful people, sin now is more widespread than ever before. Senseless, reckless living is more widespread now than ever before. America public have a death wish. The psychologists are described the personality. The problem in the personality of the American person or people as a death wish, that American people are troubled with the death wish. They are really wishing for death. They want to die. Suicide, a form of crucified. Family-controlled children. Why do you want to die? Because something has been plagued in your subconscious. You know that when there is no other way out, you've done all you could to handle the situation sensibly, that you shouldn't follow God, the last thing to do is crucify yourself. So you have reason. You have tried to live a life of sins, and that hasn't brought you to happiness. So you say, well, the next thing to do is kill ourselves, give up, commit suicide. So when you don't check your child, you see, is about to give his life to crime, who is tearing down your home, who is making problems for you, that are going to take you into court and make you pay money out of your pocket that you can't afford because your living standards now is at the bottom. When you let your child bring you down financially, morally, don't you know there is a suicide wish in you? The death wish is in you. You've given up on life. A man who hasn't given up on life, if he sees his child tearing the property down, putting himself in position to be arrested and taken to court, that man snatches his child back from the danger, saying, come here, son. I can't let you go that way. Look for her child. Now the child looks for the mom, the missing mama. I remember as a child hearing the mother, when the sun started going down and it began to get dark a little bit outside, many times the streetlights hadn't come on. And it was just a normal thing to hear a voice calling out. Sometimes we could hear a voice from the outer Bronx saying, Johnny, Lisa. That was mama, who cared about her children. Now, is Johnny and Lisa calling out, mama, 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 is out somewhere, and they don't know where she is. They don't know where their protection is coming from. We have to get the life back. The only answer for us is to get an intelligent grip on our life. People can't live by emotions. People can't live by sentimental charge. People have to live by light, the light of sense, the light of reasoning, the light of intelligence, light, that is only the way you can live. So Masters addresses as child elected, spoken to as adults. The only other way is to live by a child. And that's not living, that's dreaming. Daydreaming or night dreaming. Dreaming, church leadership, mosque leadership, synagogue leadership, all have been feeding the people, pacifiers, and holding the precious knowledge back, fearing that if the masses get the precious knowledge, the priest, the rabbi, and the imam will lose his precious position. America has come to speak one language. That's the only way out. As long as America speaks to the general public with the tongue of children and speaks to selected few with the tongue of an adult, everything will continue to go down, down, down and fall apart. Sadaq Allahu Ladeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. Thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.